for playing. I thought seriously about what I was going to preach about here tonight and challenge us in the devotional. And I thought of something on the cross. And then I thought, no, because we're going to hear a lot about the cross on Sunday and the passion of the Lord Jesus. And so we're returning to where I left off last week, and that was Psalm 25. So I may as well finish up that particular psalm. So if you want to turn to that one, Psalm 25, one of four that kind of goes together. We looked at David's prayer, his desire, and his dependence on the Lord, verses 1 through 5, and then we continued on, and we finished up with right around verse 10. All right. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And then he declares, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. My thought tonight goes to verse number 14. And that is this: the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. What's the secret of the Lord? Well, he goes on and he asks some questions about that. But he will show them his covenant. Verse number 14. Let's pray. Tonight, our Father, we're thankful that you've given us the opportunity to come together and to pray and seek your face. Pray that you would guide and direct in our lives. Thankful for your goodness to us, and pray that Christ will be lifted and he will draw us very close to himself. Thankful for this season of the year that many are reflecting upon the cross and upon the passion of the Lord Jesus and what you accomplished for us on the cross. And I pray, dear Lord, that you would speak through me tonight as we look at this particular psalm that David wrote and prayed. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Follow with me, and I'm going to read these particular verses and make some comments along the way. And I also brought my favorite treasury of David, Spurgeon, and I'll make some comments along the way. What is man, he that feareth the Lord? What man is he says? Here's his question. Him shall he teach in the way, and he shall choose. His soul, verse 13, shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. And then my thought, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show him his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me. All of these comments David is making and praying. For I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart enlarged, I bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many. They hate me with cruel hatred. Oh, keep my soul and deliver me, Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Once again, a prayer by David. And it seems that David was in much distress. You'll notice, if you remember, David's life was one of being chased at one time. David was a man after God's own heart, and he loved the Lord dearly. And in this particular psalm, it seems that he is really going through some struggles and some difficulties, even in his life. And Psalm 25, the first verse that we're looking at there, he seems to be in much distress and difficulties as we are. And he pours out his heart to the Lord. And he declares that there's a secret in verse 14 that God has for him. And notice that verse again as we look at it. And it says there, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. What is that? The secret. The secret of the Lord is with the person that fears. Really means to come close and even closer to the Lord, because God's going to share with you something that no one else knows. Now, what is that? Well, it has to do with your life. It has to do with my life. When you get close to the Lord, when you get to a point in your life and you're going through the struggles that, like David was going through, and we all go through things, the biggest question that we have on our marks and our minds is why? 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 Why is this happening to me? And the why seems to be on a personal basis, and we think more about ourselves than rather about God. We're thinking about, how am I going to get out of that? How am I going to do that? Well, he says this, the secret of the Lord are those who trust him or fear him. All right? Seems again to concentrate on not on anything else but afflictions or troubles, but rather the ability to give them over to the Lord. And I think that's the direction that David is going in this. How am I going to give these things over to the Lord and then learn something in the secret place of the Most High? Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock. He is my refuge. David would write that as well. But the person who dwells in that secret place, now what is that? That secret place is really, as what Spurgeon would say here, it says it is the intimate fellowship with the Lord. Is that time in which no one else can enter into that except for a person who is so closely related and closely to the Lord. I don't know when the last time that you were so down and out, or you were going through such a struggle and a difficulty in your life that you just didn't know which direction, and you called out to the Lord. And it's at that point that God wants to teach you something very, very, very definite. And there you draw into a fellowship with him, and you begin to learn in secret something that God has in store for you. Spurgeon says that this is an intimate and a confidential, all right, intimacy with the Lord, brought about by a continual something and that is a walk with the Lord, a continual walk with the Lord, and a continual talk with the Lord. I've heard pastors speak about so oftentimes that he will go to some place to get away and to really allow the Lord to speak to him. He will go down to the river, and he'll go for a long walk. And I don't know, our lives are so enamored with things and places and people, and everything enamored us. And this is something that the psalmist here, David, had, and that was an intimate time with the Lord, a time in which he was able to find something very special, and he calls it, at this point, the secret of the Lord. And he does that by following the paths. Now, he backed this up, or he preceded this, in this particular verse is here, by the paths. If you look at it, verse number 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth, and we looked at that last week, unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony, for thy name's sake, O Lord. And again, he is at that point really putting God where he needs to be. It's for his sake and not on a personal basis. And so sometimes it's difficult for us to get away from all these things that's happening to us. But what does God have in all of it for us? You know, when the Lord slows you down, and it's at that point that you spend an ultimate quiet and time with God. And really, it is a time in which we can come face to face with the Lord. And really, the only way you can get face to face with God is in his word. To be able to see God in an upfront way. Can't imagine in the Old Testament Moses and others that really had a definite face-to-face type of relationship with the Lord where God spoke to him. I can't imagine. Here's Moses on Mount Sinai. Lord, what do you want me to do? Take off your shoes. This is a holy place. And I believe that he was telling Moses at that point, you need to remove something, barriers in your life, to be able to allow me to speak to him. Of course, you'll follow Moses' life. He was used tremendously of the Lord, because God was going to use him. Because later on, as he was there for some 40 years, Moses' life was in 40s, and 40 years he would be there in that area, just learning about God, because he was getting prepared. Now, this seems to be what is happening here. Seems to be what is happening. Look at verses 12 and 13 as we look at there. He says there, what man is he that feareth the Lord? What man is he? And then it's kind of a rhetorical question, because he says, him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. And he says that, and really, what is man that fears the Lord? The answer certainly is given. Herein lies, I believe, the real secret of the Lord. All right? Now let me read what Mr. Spurgeon says. I was looking at this today and pondering over this. And verse number 12. And he talks about how God is going to instruct us. A person that has the secret of the Lord is the one that fears the Lord. He that fears the Lord. Present fear begetteth eternal security. Fear God, which is above all, and no need to fear man at all. Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. Now, this is a very interesting statement. Those whose hearts are right shall not err for want in a heavenly direction. Where God sanctifies the heart, he enlightens the head. Where he sanctifies it, where he sets it apart, where he teaches us in a great way. And I highlighted this. God does not violate our will, but he leaves much to our choice. Nevertheless, he instructs our will. Not my will, the Lord Jesus would say on the road to Calvary, but thy will be done. Lord, if it be willing, let this cup pass from me. Let this go by. But nevertheless, he said, and here it was, and this instruction that David was receiving from a very secret place, we don't know what it was, but other than the fact that it was a very place that God wanted David to be in, it is a place that God wants you to be in and me to be in. Don't miss that secret place. Don't miss that secret time that God is going to do something and teach you something in a greater fashion, and to reveal to you something that is only known to you at that point. And testimonies would be given beyond that. So he doesn't violate our will. So we choose that which is well-pleasing in his sight. The will should be subject to, as says the law, there is a way which we should choose, but so ignorant are we that we need to be taught, and that's the key, so willful that none but God himself can teach effectively. No one but God can teach. Even the preacher, even the teacher, even the person that's expositing the Word of God and being able to teach us some things. And yes, but it's God that's going to do that. I believe that's the secret that he is saying. You see, it is God alone who will teach us and to lead us and to introduce us to that secret fellowship. So what's God teaching you? Well, I believe that this time which David spent out there with the sheep, out there in a place that was known, and if you'd been in Israel, you could see that place was something unbelievable. But a time in which God alone in his fellowship with the Lord would teach him even a greater thing. The secret of the Lord. I read this from Spurgeon again. The higher spiritual life is necessarily a path which the eagle's eye hath not known and which the lion's whelp has not traveled. Neither natural wisdom nor strength can force a door to enter the chamber. What's that? That's the secret place. Saints have the key of heaven's hieroglyphics. This is a neat one. And they can unriddle celestial enigmas. In other words, you'd be able to see something beyond. And that's what I believe that he's saying here. They are initiated into fellowship. So it's this intimate type of fellowship that only God can show you that. been there much. But when you get there, when you get to that secret place that God takes you there and grabs a hold of you and reveals to you something, it's absolutely a pinnacle, I guess, that I could put there. When I was a youth pastor, I took kids to youth conferences, and this youth conference was down in Clark Summit, and I was struggling with what God was going to have me to do with these kids, because I was new at this youth pastor business, and I didn't know what I was going to do with the kids. I had no clue, but I gave myself to it. I said, Lord, if you want me. And so I spent, that was a sweet, secret place that I spent. I went to a chapel, and I went off to a room, and there, you know, I had something that God spoke to me about, and from that point on, I gave myself over to the ministry of young people at that point. But I remember that time. It was just something that was absolutely unbelievable. And it seems to be that this is what David is really talking about. When you find it, you'll know that secret that God is revealing to you. Now, from this point on, in this particular psalm, David digresses, I believe, and he goes back to stating some really interesting things about the ways God is going to reveal the secret of the Lord. All right? And how is it? Well, notice, he goes down through the rest of these verses, and he says, my soul shall dwell at ease. His seed shall inherit the earth, the secret of the Lord. And there it is. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. In other words, he was caught in something. And so it was that point. You may be caught in something. It was at that point that God may use that tool to speak to you. Verse number 16. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me. For notice he says there, I'm desolate and afflicted. He makes the statement that he's in a position that's absolutely desolate. He's afflicted. And he uses this again. Afflicted with what? Well, later on you're going to hear about that, because he talks about his enemies. And you remember, if you read through David's life, all right, as he was following the Lord and going from place to place, and he was anointed to be king, there would be times in which individuals were fighting and following him and going to take him down. They were his enemies. Well, here it is. So there could be one of those that he's talking to here. All right. Verse number 16, turn thee to me, for I'm desolate. Number 17, he talks about troubles. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring me out of my distresses. Again, he says that. And he's calling out to the Lord. Have you done that? Have you been to that point in your life when some things that you're trying to work through some things, and God wants you to find that secret place, all right, and it only comes from having those troubles. God brings us to those places. Verse 18, look upon, and again he uses the word afflictions, and my pain, and forgive all of my sins. And 19, the word consider, I believe, talks about asking God. Now, there was a statement here for this. All right. There was a statement about this one here. All right. Pain and afflictions. And again, the secret seems to be revealed in asking for forgiveness. Verse 19 talks about enemies. Those that plain hate us for whatever. And he says, consider or look upon them. One commentator says, look upon those with wrath and with vengeance. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. And I believe that he was calling out and saying to God, you take care of that situation. Some way you take care of that situation and look upon the enemies and bring them to repentance or bring about something upon their lives that this will end. He says, consider men. Verses 20, 21, and 22, he concludes with a plea to God to give him great patience and, I believe, longevity in this. Now look at these verses. He says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Don't let me be ashamed, for I again put my trust in thee. He again restates the whole reason. He restates his trust, his real considering of that God is in charge of all of this. I trust in him. And then verse 21, he says, let integrity and an uprightness preserve me. I'm doing the right thing. Let that preserve me. He lists integrity. What you are, now listen to this, and what you are, and the outworking of that is uprightness. The integrity is that which is inside. But the outworking of that is the uprightness. It's going to cause you to do those things which are upright. So the inwardness of that, he says at this point, if you remember, David would talk about the pureness of his heart. This David who went even to the lowest part of his walk with God to actually forsake God, in a sense. He got to a point where he just walked away from the Lord. And then he came back in Psalm 51 and talks about asking for that forgiveness. He lists integrity because all of that, because he waits on the Lord. How much are you waiting on the Lord? Isaiah would talk about that. Yea, that as we wait upon the Lord, our lives are lifted up even as the eagles. At the end of this, he says, let integrity, and he says, for I wait on thee, redeem Israel. And once again, he makes that statement about Israel as the nation of God, even that he was a leader, even that that nation could see. God's in charge. And he says, oh God, out of all of his troubles, out of all their troubles, we're studying the book of Ezra. And in our Sunday school class, and we're at the point now that they have come back and they're rebuilding that temple. The altar has been built, and they're going through a great rejoicing. Why? Well, they had been brought back from a captivity. That secret place may be for you or me a captivity that we need to be released from, something that we need to be brought back out of. And it can only happen if you and I get to that point, as David did, when he said in these particular verses, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He uses that word fear several times. That's we have known as that reverential trust, that trust in God alone. Several verses that come to mind, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's other verses that deal with that trust. And David was one to really throw that out there. If you see the heart of David, read the rest of the picture. Because there are 150 Psalms, nearly all of them by David. But when you hear and see and read, you begin to see that he seemingly knew what the secret of the Lord was. What's your secret? What's God teaching you in a very special way? I don't know. But when you know it, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. That will bring you to a point that will bring that great joy of the Lord. The secret of the Lord. Very interesting that David would talk about that. Okay.